It's hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45. It's game one of the World Series tonight in Arlington. At 2:30, why October 20th matters, including the birthday for a couple of musical titans. In a mere minutes, it's our weekly Dallas Cowboys and Big 12 chat with Ari Temkin. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Just a little part of me got excited when you said World Series game one in Arlington tonight. This little bit, oh yeah, it's in Arlington. It was going to be in Arlington the whole time, even though the Rangers aren't there. All right, hour number three getting started. Remember, we've got your chance to get the $50 gift card to the UT Co-op online store later this afternoon with the triple option, guys. You need to get out to Randall's on Cypress Creek Road in Cedar Park. Snap that picture with the Coors Light display and use the hashtag LonghornsMadeToChill for your chance to win. Thanks to Coors Light for being such a great partner of ours. They are, of course, the official domestic beer of the Texas Longhorns. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline and talk some Dallas Cowboys. He is Ari Temkin of the Cowboys Radio Network, also Big 12 Radio on Sirius XM. Ari, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. A little bit better than the Cowboys are today.
Man, oh, man. The way I'll start it is, what did they want to talk about on postgame? Like, I'm 45 years old. I didn't see that much that freaked me out last night. I didn't yell, scream, holler, or break things. And I certainly didn't want to talk about it afterwards. But you guys are dealing with postgame. So your diehards that are calling in, the folks that love to complain all over the country, what did they want to talk about after 38-10?
You know, this isn't the only fan base that does this, but it's obviously heightened because of Jerry Jones and, you know, the profile that he has, and so therefore the, you know, the criticism that he wears because of what happens to stuff like this. And so, you know, instead of a loss being a loss and there being reasons for that, and there's legitimate reasons for why the Cowboys have lost the games, you know, four of the games they played this year, it kind of devolves into an indictment on the organization. And I mean, this is an exercise in futility for many reasons, but it's also, it just kind of is our default. When things go really bad for the Cowboys, it becomes this large sweeping indictment on Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones and the family operation for the Cowboys. And again, I don't want to say that's not important here and that's not part of it, but it's also sort of a moot point because we don't have control over that. And there are a lot of also, there are plenty of organizations that have quote unquote legitimate GMs. And Brian Broaddus made this point last night, that also don't draft very well or don't do this very well, or, you know, so it's not the problem with the Cowboys seems to always, when stuff like this happens, evolve into a discussion about, you know, indictment on the organization, larger issues, Jerry Jones, and instead of sort of focusing on, I mean, this team has just continually turned the ball over. They're minus 12 in the turnover ratio. They've now given up 84 points off of turnovers.
Wow.
I mean, they're just, it's pretty obvious why they're 2-4. In fact, it's kind of obvious. It's kind of crazy. They're not worse than 2-4.
Yeah.
Like they should be 0-6 based on minus 12 in the turnover differential and 84 points surrendered off of turnovers. They've given up 218 points all season, which is a franchise record and on pace to be worst of all time, but you can't divorce the 84 points off of turnovers from that 218 total. This is a team with a bad defense and a turnover problem. And this is why it's shocking they've even won two games.
Mm-hmm. A bad defense, a turnover problem, and an offensive line that is utterly patchwork now. Any update on Zach Martin? Do they expect him back this weekend versus Washington?
Yeah, there was no update really in any capacity after the game. You know, it's interesting because before he went out for that final series that he was in, they were working on his shoulder. And, you know, the report was that it was a shoulder stinger. And then he goes in, and it looked like an entirely different injury that he suffered. It ends up being a concussion. So, you know, he's in concussion protocol, and, you know, I guess that was good news from, you know, the potential of it being a shoulder injury, something, again, that they were working on prior to that drive. So, you know, it was like as soon as it happened and he goes out of the game, you're like, well, that's different than what it initially looked like they were working on. So I guess that's some good news. But, yeah, it was a concussion, and you know, so there's no timetable for a concussion protocol, but, you know, hopefully everything checks out and he's back in lineup next week because, yeah, I mean, they've lost everybody along their offensive line. They only have one starter left, and that's, you know, easily their worst offensive lineman and Connor Williams. So they've got Connor Williams and then a bunch of guys that are either rookies or second-year players. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's weird. That I mean, you know, you obviously want to give Andy Dalton as much of a chance as you can to be successful. That offensive line doesn't give him that chance. The fact that you want an indictment on this, the building of talent, the fact, Ari, that McGovern played, not because they wanted him to, but because he had to play. Like, that just, to me, that speaks to a problem. When was Connor McGovern acquired? It wasn't that long ago, right? And the idea was that he was going to be pretty good, right? But they only put him in because he had to be put in last night. That's frustrating for me to watch as a fan of a bad offensive line.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that happens when you change over organizations from a coaching standpoint. So you have a scouting department that really liked Connor McGovern. You know, the Cowboys raved when they got him that they had a second-round grade on him, and they couldn't believe they were able to get him when they got him. And then you get a new coaching staff in town that apparently doesn't like him. And, I mean, they're going to do whatever they can to not put him in the game, maybe even so far as to start other players over him, you know, because they don't want him to play. It's really bizarre. You know, for a while they kept saying, well, he's really inexperienced. This is kind of like a rookie year for him. Kept saying that. It's like, you know, you're starting an undrafted free agent rookie at right tackle, right? Like, yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
This is like a rookie year for Terrence Steele too, but you haven't had any issues putting him at right tackle. And so, I mean, a lot of times you have is like, you have scouts that like this guy that had that second round grade on him and they got him and they're scratching their heads like total miscommunication, but there's like, you know, we think of organizations as being this sort of ecosystem and there's communication constantly going throughout. And you've got scouts in the Cowboys that are like, what's wrong with this guy? What's the coaching staff not seeing in him? And that's the craziest part to me. It's like, shouldn't the scouting department go to the coaching staff and vice versa and talk about this stuff as opposed to like asking people in the media what they think of this player, why he's not playing? So yeah, I mean, the McGovern thing's interesting. I mean, look, I think if we want to point fingers at Jerry and Steven, we can do that. They've done nothing to improve this defense, especially in the secondary through the draft and free agency. Mm-hmm. We've talked a lot about it. They have invested nothing at safety. And I think the product of that is what we're seeing. They clearly believe that there's no value in spending money or acquiring high level talent through the draft at safety. You know, they've invested a little bit more in corner, but not much more. And so it's like, I mean, you look up and this is, I said it all year. I said it before the season started. This team is going to be really good offensively. They're not going to be very good defensively. If they have an average defense, they could win a Super Bowl. And I mean, they obviously don't have an average defense. And right now we're seeing just how good Dak Prescott is. You know, I tweeted, you know, there's obviously people that are, it's always tough to pay attention to, you know, a lot of the Cowboys fans, because, you know, there's, you could say a lot of Cowboys fans don't like Dak Prescott, wanted to see Andy Dalton in this spot. I think most reasonable people saw that, you know, Andy Dalton's a really good backup quarterback, but that's a major step back from Dak Prescott. But so much of, you know, the vitriol to Dak was, well, he just chews up these, you know, garbage yards and points. You know, just when they're down, he's, you know, he's getting them back into it because teams are playing prevent defense. It's like, no, they could have used some of those garbage yards and points last night in the game. It gives you a pretty good indication of just how good Dak Prescott is and how much value he brings to this team, this organization.
Well, and one advantage Dak Prescott has over Andy Dalton is when you're having to throw the football and you're dealing with a shoddy offensive line, you know that the opposition is pinning their ears back. He can, one, get the football out a little bit quicker, and two, he can maybe elude that pressure better.
Right. And, I mean, look, Andy Dalton, the book on him is pretty well documented. You know, we know what his ceiling is. He's hit his ceiling and he's on his way down. With Dak, you know, this is part of why – you know, there's so much, I think, discussion on whether or not they should sign him to a long-term deal. And part of the reason why I think is because, he's only scratched the surface of his potential. We've seen so much growth from him. And, I mean, he's still leading the league in yards. Guys, he didn't play this past week, and he's still number one in yards in the NFL. So, you know, this next 12 weeks these next 10 weeks are going to be a pretty good show of why the Cowboys need to be signing Dak Prescott to a long-term deal this offseason.
You alluded to it at the very beginning of this conversation, Ari, but Jane Slater reported a little bit earlier, a couple of Cowboys players just absolutely firing on their coaches today, calling them totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. Another guy says they just aren't good at their jobs. Are we maybe a couple of weeks away from seeing Mike McCarthy having to make his first move in terms of replacing an assistant coach? And if so, do you think that guy ends up being Mike Nolan?
You know, look, normally I love this kind of stuff because it's really juicy and it you know, plays into a very important specific narrative. And I'm not gonna be here to defend Mike McCarthy, because I don't think, you know, what he's done this season is that impressive. And I mean, he has not done a very good job of acquitting himself of being a bad coach, at least through the first 6 weeks of the season. But I mean, I have eyes. I can go back and look at film. I mean, it's some of this certainly scheme related. Some of this also, I would say, personnel related. And it's just really tough for me to blame this entirely on a coaching staff when I'm watching guys not be able to get off blocks, when I'm watching guys pursue incorrectly, when I'm watching guys completely mess up plays. You know, it's one thing for a coaching staff to not put guys in position to be successful. It's another thing entirely for those guys to be in position and still not be successful, but then blame it on the coaches. Did this team make a gross miscalculation scheming defensively? Without question. Without question. To do a 180-degree turn from where you've been for the last decade schematically on defense in a shortened offseason where you don't have full OTAs and minicamps and whatnot, very stupid move. And this is what we're seeing from that. But again, 84 of the 218 points they've surrendered this year off of turnovers. This is a bad defense that's getting zero help from its offense, and the offense is making the defense look even worse than it is. Guys, the defense did its job to start this game. Punt, punt, punt to start the game against a really good offense. That is more than you could have ever hoped for. And then what happens in the next two possessions for the Cowboys? Fumble, fumble, touchdown, touchdown, game over.
Yeah, that, so, yeah. That's a, it's
it just
a,
seems
yeah.
like bad timing to be blaming this on coaches.
It's a great point, Ari. As I was watching the game, I kept thinking about it. I think about it with the Longhorns, too. We'll talk a little Big 12 with you as well. But that complimentary football thing just sometimes gets lost. But when you can
Holy
get your
– Holy cow, are the Cowboys and Longhorns the same team.
Right?
I mean,
you just can't get your offense, your defense, and your special teams to mesh together at times. And I was thinking the same – when they got to the end of the first quarter last night and there was no score, I knew they were in trouble. Because I'm thinking, okay, I know Arizona's going to score. I know they are. And you guys got nothing right now. I'm with you. That defense had given them a little something. Offense couldn't help. And obviously, when your best player, when the guy that's supposed to be there for you is fumbling, that helps to erode your confidence too. I'm not exactly sure what to tell them here, because Ari, in the offseason, as we were getting ready for it, we talked about it. My biggest question was, what will they need to win? Well, through six games, the average they've needed to win is 37. The average. And that was with Dak Prescott. I'm wondering, man, how much is Dak going to have to create? Now it's Andy Dalton, a banged-up offensive line, and how much will they have to create? It is such a frustrating thing. But as we look forward to this week's game, you're going back into the division that, let's say it again, you're first place in. So it's Cowboys, Washington. I mean, right now this whole focus just needs to be the best team in the East, find your way into the playoffs, see if you can get Andy Dalton a playoff win. Is that fair?
Yeah, although I will – and you know, going into the game, that was certainly how I felt. But then after watching 60 minutes of that team, like, it's hard to project out at one game for the rest of the year, but I watched that team like, how is this team going to win another game? Because this is a team that turns the ball over with a bad defense, and now they don't have an explosive offense. So, like, before the game on the pregame show, we're like, who's the second best team in the NFC East? And I was wondering that. I was thinking, will anybody say Cowboys? And I look, going into the game, I would have said, yeah, the Cowboys are the best team in the division. But coming out of the game, I'm like, I don't know if they are. And at this point, I don't know what to tell you to root for. I guess as a fan, root for whoever you want. You know, root for this team to win as many games, potentially get the playoffs and the excitement that comes along with that, or root for them to lose a bunch of games and get a top five, top 10 pick. And now all of a sudden we're having a completely different discussion about the future of the quarterback position in Dallas.
Yeah. Well, what you root for is Ezekiel Elliott's not fumbling the next two balls he carries. I mean, you have to believe that number 21 is better than that moving forward, and he will be better, right? I mean, he's still a really good running back when he's not doing that. You can't assume he's going to keep doing that. If he fumbles every two carries, you got a whole different issue. But this is the guy you put a lot of money into. They just got to hand the ball to 21.
I've kind of felt that way all year, though. It's like six games, and it's like, just stop turning the ball over.
Yeah.
They're averaging two turnovers a game.
I know.
And they are giving the other team 14 points every game off turnovers. 84 points in six games. That's two touchdowns.
Every game.
You say it like it's bad, Ari. You say that like it's bad to give a team 14. I mean, come on. That's how you get loosened up in the NFL. What are you talking about?
So it's funny because it's like I keep thinking the same thing. Like, well, they're not going to keep doing this.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton doesn't throw interceptions. You know, Zeke Elliott doesn't fumble that much. He had 4 fumbles all last year. He has 5 of the season so far this year. So I don't know. I just know through 6 games, it's pretty obvious what makes this team bad, and that is the turnover issues, the defense, and now a lack of an explosive offense with a quarterback that's just not able to do things that his predecessor clearly can.
The Cowboys win at Washington on Sunday?
I would hope so. I would think so. Although I don't know if I would hope so.
By the way, Ari, if you're Washington, could you have drawn up a better matchup for your defensive front and the Cowboys offensive line than what they have this week? Could you have drawn it up any better other than like putting you and me at tackle? Right? Think about that. Sweat and what's his name? What's the kid from Ohio State? Young? He's still playing, right?
Yeah, Chase Young.
Oh my God.
From Alabama. Yeah, they're very stout up front, but the issue with Washington is they're not really stout or good or even passable at many other spots.
Right.
And you know, obviously now they've got the Dwayne Haskins situation. I mean, you've got 3 teams in this division that all took quarterbacks in the top 15 of the draft. In the case of Philadelphia and New York, the top 2 of the draft, and all 3 of these teams are going to be looking for quarterbacks in the 2021 draft. And the crazy thing about this is I don't know who's not tanking in the NFC East.
Mm-hmm. They're all act like they are. They're all acting like it right now. Ari, real quick before we let you go, the best game in the Big 12 is Iowa State, Oklahoma State in Stillwater. Who do you like in that one? And do you think Texas beats Baylor?
Yes, I think Texas beats Baylor. They're very much in a rebuilding year, and they just don't have a ton on offense. Their offense looked really bad against West Virginia in a loss a couple of weeks ago, and they haven't played much. So, yeah, I mean, I certainly like Texas. And Oklahoma State, Iowa State, yeah, I mean, this is the game you circled at the beginning of the season thinking this is going to be the Big 12 game of the week this week, right? I mean, this is what everybody was expecting. The big thing is I'm 90% certain that former Denton Ryan star Spencer Sanders is going to be starting. He's been out the last 2.5 games. Shane Ellingworth has come in as a true freshman and done a really good job, but, you know, kind of like Andy Dalton and Dak Prescott. And I'm not comparing Ellingworth to Dalton, nor am I comparing Spencer Sanders to Dak Prescott, but simply just things that Ellingworth can't do that Spencer Sanders can. And he makes them special. Like, he makes them legitimate college football playoff contenders. The problem is, Sanders wasn't great last year. He just showed you a lot of ability, but made a lot of bad, crucial mistakes beyond just, freshman mistakes, just like stupid, boneheaded kind of things that you hope to see his growth from that last year into this year. But he's the missing piece because this defense is really good. They're loaded. Their offense is really good and loaded. And they now have 2 legitimate feature backs with L.D. Brown emerging. Oklahoma State's the real deal and certainly could represent the Big 12 in the college football playoff if they're able to run the table. But, yeah, this is going to be a tough one. Iowa State, it's fortunate for Oklahoma State, they're at home.
Yep.
And Iowa State, as good as Brock Purdy's been in his career, he has not had a good year this year so far for Iowa State. And they have the best running back in the Big 12 in Breece Hall.
Brock Purdy and that Iowa State offense against Oklahoma State's defense, probably the matchup of that game. Is Oklahoma State that legit on defense? They have been so far. We'll see what happens. Ari Temkin, Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, Cowboys and Washington is a noon kick this week, so it's an 11 o'clock pregame on Sunday. See if the Cowboys can get that 3rd win and stay in first place. Also, Big 12 Radio, Sirius XM, he's at Ari Sports on Twitter if you want to give him a follow. Ari, we appreciate the visit as always, man. Enjoy your week.
Talk to you guys next week. Be well.
Thanks, Art.
Good stuff there. That poor man has to deal with all those calls and post game. I cannot imagine what that was like last night after 38-10. Good grief. All right, coming up, why October the 20th matters. We've got a sports anniversary and some big birthdays to get to, including the man who gave the performance that created one of the greatest television shows ever. Trey and I would both tell you that. This is The Horn. Trey's going with beach music today. What do you got, Trey?
MGMT, that's the band. The song is Electric Feel.
MGMT, like management?
Yeah.
Or they go by MGMT.
They go by MGMT.
It's an interesting thing to go by an acronym like that.
Becoming more popular in the world of making up names, to leave out all the vowels.
There's a lot of words that have been used for band names. So
get some consonants.
You kind of got to go to letters sometimes. You get the right ones, maybe it works. Hey, if you're good, I don't care what you call yourself. Beach music, because Trey is headed to a beach wedding this weekend, so he's kind of leaning out the door already. If you want to lean towards a Coors Light, that's always a good idea. But also, we've got a gift card for you this afternoon, the UT Co-op online store gift card, thanks to the good folks at Coors Light, thanks to the folks, obviously, at the co-op there, and thanks to the good folks at Randall's. We've got another Coors Light chilling with the horns for you. Go to Randall's on Cypress Creek Road this afternoon. This is during the triple option time, so that's going to be 3 to 7 out in Cedar Park. Take the picture with the Coors Light Longhorn display and use the hashtag LonghornsMadeToChill for your chance to win. Go to hornfm.com for more info. Remember, after the triple option tonight, it is something that you cannot miss if you're a Longhorn football fan, and that is the Longhorn Blitz podcast. Super wonderful, nerdy breakdowns of Texas football, honesty, screaming, opinions, Rod Babers, Jeff Howe, Matt Butler, always a good time, and that is at 7 o'clock tonight. All right, let's tell you why October the 20th matters.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All right, it is October the 20th, and today, back in 1996, I always smile when I think of this story because I know someone who was on this team. Back in the day, Brian Jones and I did a show together, and we hear Brian every week on Thursdays on this show. We've had him on at 105 these last couple of Thursdays from CBS Sports. Brian was on the Colts team. He was with the Colts and Saints at different times. He was on the Jim Mora Diddly Poo team. Today was the Jim Mora Diddly Poo rant, and I believe it was a week later he was fired. And I remember Brian telling the story of knowing he would be fired. We'll have Brian tell that on Thursday when we have him on talking college football. So happy anniversary to Coach Mora and the Diddly Poo rant. It is definitely a good one. But Trey, I think we need to start officially today. Why Today Matters. It's a man that has resurrected really the form of television, and it is the great William Zabka. He's 55 years old today, the double nickel for Johnny Lawrence, and if his acting were less than, the show wouldn't have been a success, and if he had not nailed it, I don't think Cobra Kai is Cobra Kai. Everybody else was good in their own way, but I think if he had slipped and screwed that up, that show doesn't do anything. The fact that they got season 3 ready to go and season 4 signed on, I'm so excited for him. So happy birthday to Zabka today.
His Arrested Development really is the most enjoyable thing about that show.
Absolutely.
Without question.
And we all, that's the other thing about that show that you don't expect is that we all relate to that. Who doesn't relate to Arrested Development on some level?
Yeah, I mean, we're in an era where you're almost ostracized for not having any form of Arrested Development, whether it's continuing to just go ridiculous for superhero movies or having like a comic book collection or whatever else it is. We all have our things that we loved as kids that we still love as adults.
Dude, the back and forth between Daniel and Johnny about REO Speedwagon is one of the best things I've ever seen on a television show.
Oh, that was great.
It was so good. As a music snob, I just loved that whole moment and the delivery and the fact that they picked that band to use in that scene. That was fantastic. I love the show. I can't wait for Cobra Kai season 3. Do we have a date yet? A month?
Yeah, we announced it on this show. I believe it's early January.
Okay, so it's early next year. We know 3 is coming out, and then 4 is going to be done. It's just they haven't made it yet.
Right.
Okay. So Cobra Kai is out there. Also, for you nerds out there, The Mandalorian, they did the preview last night. October 30th is the new Mandalorian season when they will stream it. So next Friday, right before Halloween weekend.
January 8th is the premiere for Cobra Kai.
Oh, it's beautiful. Mandalorian October 30th, and that on January 8th, I'm ready.
Kick off what's hopefully a better year than this god-awful year with some Cobra Kai. Count me in.
Let's do it. Also today, happy birthday to two guys that I'm going to guess have smoked about a third of the pot in the world. Tom Petty. Not anymore, of course, but he would have been 70 today. God love you, Tom. Rest in peace. Died in 2017.
and Snoop Dogg share a birthday.
Snoop.
Snoop's not 50 yet. He's just 49 today.
That's a little bit surprising.
I'm actually kind of excited about that today. My spirits have been buoyed by that. A lot of times I see a birthday number and I go, oh, damn it. I'm an old man.
I feel so old now.
But Snoop Dogg at 49 feels good to me. Like the other day was Usher's birthday. And for some reason, Usher's number made me feel good. I'm like, oh, yeah, Usher's still young. Usher's young. Yeah, yeah, that's good.
So what you're saying is Snoop makes you feel yizzle?
Yes, exactly. By the way, there's no word with izzle in the word that I can say and sound cool. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Drizzle?
No. And sound cool?
Yeah.
Man, this is a solid drizzle.
When you're doing one of your voices, of course, you're not going to sound cool.
It's true. That's fair.
So just try for shizzle.
For shizzle. Didn't work.
Okay,
did it?
You did sound terrible.
You tried to act. Your brain decided to be nice to me, but your face didn't agree. Your eyes just crunched.
Are you sure that wasn't the RDF?
That was good. No, your RDF. It took over your RDF. It was great.
All right.
There was nothing resting about that. That was fantastic. What else did you tell me it was? Oh, today's Face Your Fears Day.
Yes.
Yeah. Face Your Fears Day. So if you're somebody that doesn't like snakes, come over to my house and we'll kill one in the backyard.
Yeah, you're not afraid of snakes. What are you afraid of? What freaks you out? Other than people dressing up in costumes for Halloween at the office.
Closed spaces.
You're claustrophobic.
Yeah, when it gets into like my wife came in the other day and said there's a movie where Ryan Reynolds is in a coffin the whole movie.
Who?
And I thought, wait a minute, the whole movie?
I'm out.
Because the scene with Ashley Judd in Double Jeopardy in a coffin is enough for me to freak out, and it doesn't last that long. Kill Bill Volume 2, where Uma Thurman is in a coffin. It's tough to get through for me, and it doesn't last the whole movie. You say my man's in there the whole movie? So that's probably my biggest fear is just being in a tight space.
So part of the reason why I no longer wanted to play football after seventh grade is because I saw a couple of piles and I was like, I don't want anywhere near the bottom of that pile. I end up on the bottom of that pile, that could be the end of me.
Right.
So that was it for me with football.
Now, are you like insanely afraid of any particular animal? Like, does any particular animal freak you out?
I'm not crazy about snakes.
No one should be.
But I can deal with a snake if need be. I mean, like a grizzly bear.
Oh, sure.
Probably pretty afraid of a grizzly bear. My biggest fear, maybe more so than just tight spaces that I can't get out of, are heights that aren't secure.
Oh, yeah.
So I have no issues on an airplane when we're in the sky. But if I'm like at the top of a platform, and there's limited railing to keep me up there, if there's like this big gust of wind and I get knocked off, that freaks me out. Like, to your point on movies where people are in coffins for part of the film, if I see video, like there's a video floating around on Facebook and Twitter right now where it's like literally somebody at the very top of a mountain and they are on a ridge that is maybe as wide as their feet. And they're just like running this. It makes me want to vomit every time I see it. I just have to turn it away really quickly.
What if I take you out to Grand Canyon where they have that clear glass-bottomed thing?
Okay, so they have that.
Does that make you feel safe enough?
They have that with the Sears Tower in Chicago, Trink Up. Now it's called the Willis Tower.
Yeah, don't call it that. You're good.
Where you can go out. They call it the Sky Ledge.
Okay.
That I have no issues with that.
Because you feel safe.
Yeah, I feel safe. Same thing with the Grand Canyon. I would actually want to go out on that. See, assuming that there aren't a bunch of people, that's maybe where I draw the line. If there's like 50 people on this thing, then maybe we're a little bit worried that it could crack.
Yeah, so if it's National Face Your Fears Day, maybe if we're afraid of spiders, let one crawl across your hand and you'd be okay.
Good luck with that.
A good spider to do that with, too, would be the tarantula. The people that are afraid of spiders freak on tarantulas. They're not even really that dangerous.
You dropped that knowledge on me a few weeks back. I told that to my wife and kids, and they were astounded. They were blown away because Justine's biggest fear is spiders.
Yeah, it's extremely intimidating to look at. But the spider itself can't really hurt you. It can't do serious damage.
They're the possum of the arachnid world.
Now, I freaked out by possums. I don't know if I would consider it a legitimate, like, I'm afraid of them. But if you give me a choice of a list of animals, Chad, one of these animals will be in your yard, guaranteed. Possum is right at the bottom of my list. Like, I'd rather have a raccoon. I've had a skunk in my yard, and I think I'd rather have it than a possum.
No. I'm out on the skunk because of the damage that it can do when it lifts its tail up.
It is complicated on the spray thing. I get that. And I might pick the possum before that. You're right. But the possum looks so mean and evil.
They are hideous creatures.
They look like the devil.
But they're not nearly as mean as you would assume. It's why they are the, I guess, the tarantulas of the rodent world. Because they look a lot gnarlier than they actually are. They're not going to try and harm you unless you get it right up in its face. And even then, it may just bite you and run.
All right, here we go. Completely unrealistic situation, but for some reason this popped in my head. You know what your backyard is like better than I do. So picture your backyard. If I'm going to guarantee you one of these two animals is in your backyard, which one are you picking? Full-grown grizzly bear, full-grown tiger. One of those two is in your backyard for sure. Which one do you want it to be? You have to deal with it, whichever one it is. Which one's in your backyard?
Oh, man.
I'm not sure what I would do here.
Yeah, this is a bad scenario. Probably grizzly bear. Going to take them a little bit longer to get through. The tiger's just going to jump through the window if it really wants to. The grizzly bear is going to have to shimmy his way through the window.
Less speed? You'd pick the one that's less fast?
People would be surprised at how fast grizzly bears are, but yeah, I would assume that you lose a couple mph's with the grizzly versus the tiger too.
Man.
But here's the thing though. A tiger that is fully fed may not be coming after you like the grizzly bear would.
Okay.
So I'm going to give that one some thought through the commercial break.
Yeah. These are the kind of questions that the kind of questions I come up with out of nowhere. It is National Face Your Fears Day. Also, we've got, let's see, Keith Hernandez. He's Keith Hernandez. You're Jerry Seinfeld. Keith Hernandez is 67 today. Happy birthday to Scott Hall in the wrestling world. The bad guy is 62. And how about this for a goofy trivia question? Dave Craig, the old quarterback from the Seahawks, is 62. I always love this. Dave Craig went to Milton College in Wisconsin. It didn't exist when he was in the NFL. They closed it down in the early 80s. He played in the 70s. He literally went to a college that no longer exists. I love that. Milton College for Dave Craig. So there's some Why Today Matters for you. Up next, we get you set for the World Series Game 1 tonight, where a Dallas area kid has a chance to make up for something earlier in these playoffs. We'll get into that, get you some notes from around football as well, including Cowboys players couldn't hold their tongue after last night. This is The Horn. You're just showing off on the acoustic guitar. What's this?
Slightly Stupid is the name of the band, Chad. The song is Closer to the Sun.
Ain't nothing stupid about that guitar playing,
no,
though.
No, that was pretty ridiculous.
That was very nice. Very nice. Trey's going with some beach music today because he's going to a beach wedding.
And we have a lot of people defending the possum on the Specs text
defending
line.
Defending
right
the possum?
Yeah, the possum. Very important for eating other dead animals in the area. They're really not that much of a threat to humans. They might only come after you if you corner them.
Let me be honest with them. You know what? That's great. I will leave all those possums alive. Never killed a possum. I don't want to be near them. So I'll get them out of my yard. Once you get to an animal of that size, I do feel uncomfortable killing it. I'll kill a snake.
Yeah.
I'll kill some, but like possum, raccoon, armadillo, all that kind of stuff. I don't feel comfortable killing those animals.
Armadillos are vile.
I just want to get rid of them.
I know it's an animal that is often associated with this state. Armadillos are nasty creatures.
They're a weird little animal.
They're weird, but they're also filthy. I mean, they are disease-ridden.
Yeah, I don't want that at all. All right. Remember, you got your chance coming up in the triple option for that $50 gift card to the UT Co-op online store. It's Randall's on Cypress Creek Road in Cedar Park. And use the hashtag LonghornsMadeToChill for your chance to win. HornFM.com. If you need any info on that, or if you need, you know, anything, podcast or anything that you might have missed. Triple option today at 3. A Longhorn Blitz podcast coming up at 7. Right now, how about stems and seeds, including a World Series?
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
And happy birthday to Mr. Dog. We told you Snoop is 49 today, so happy birthday to him. AV Consultations brings it to you, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Game one of the World Series tonight, it is the Dodgers and the Rays. You want to talk about pressure versus no pressure. 7 o'clock or so on Fox. By the way, safe travels to Craig Way and his crew. Craig, the Dodgers fan, headed up. He had his jersey on today. He's going to get to see game one live tonight. Glasnow and Kershaw. Can Clayton Kershaw ultimately get this done? Not only for the Dodgers, but could he do it back in his home neighborhood, the Dallas area kid? What a night this could be, Trey. I've never rooted for the Dodgers. For some reason in my life, they've had hateable guys for me, guys I didn't like. But there's a lot of likable on that team. I like Kershaw. I like Betts. I like Seager. I like Bellinger. And I'm a National League guy kind of by nature. I'm a Rangers fan, but my dad raised me a Braves fan. I've always leaned a little more National League. I don't know. I'm not sure who I'm rooting for yet in this, but I think I could live with the Dodgers winning it.
I just like to see a close series, a hard-fought series, and I am rooting for Clayton Kershaw. He is one of the good guys out there in the sports mm-hmm. world, so I hope that, if nothing else, he is able to turn around the postseason misery that he's been dealing with for a long time now.
Well, that's just it. Tampa Bay gets to do what the Marlins have done twice, which is just play a World Series. You're playing teams with ghosts. You're playing teams with expectations. Mm-hmm. You just get to swing away. They got that young cat that's unbelievable. They got the great pitching, different way of thinking about pitching too. And they just get to play. The Dodgers have all the weight on them. It's like you guys can't keep going to the World Series and lose.
I think because the Dodgers are on more of a streak coming into the World Series, having won 3 games straight to come back on the Braves like they did versus the Rays limping into the World Series, nearly blowing that 3-0 lead to the Astros. I'm giving the edge right now to the Dodgers. I have them winning this one in 6.
And also for Kershaw tonight, extra important that he be a stud because he could really help their pitching out for this series.
Mm-hmm.
Craig mentioned it today on Light the Tower. They had to exhaust everything they had to beat the Braves. So if Kershaw can give them a stud performance tonight, that could really help them to reset the pitching for this series.
Boy, this is an embarrassing admission, but I really didn't check this out during the playoffs. The NL did not go back to pitchers hitting for the playoffs, correct? They stuck with the DH?
Yes, I believe that's right.
Okay, so they're going to stick with the DH now too.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think once they decided it was all universal, then they're just going to leave it that way. So tonight on Fox for Kershaw and Glasnow to get the World Series started.
A few NFL nuggets, Chad, on our way out. First, we talked about both these things earlier, but first, Tua Tagovailoa is going to be the Dolphins' starting quarterback. They're on bye this week. When they come back off that bye, they face the Los Angeles Rams. Tua will be under center for the Fins. Ryan Fitzpatrick backing him up. And then also the Dallas Cowboys had a couple of anonymous players just absolutely fire on the coaching staff, saying that they don't know what they're doing, they don't make adjustments, they make no efforts to teach, and things are not looking good in Big D right now.
Yeah, you didn't think last night could go on primetime Monday Night Football and it just be normal. There are normal reasons why it happened to them, but they're never normal. So I'm not surprised this happened today. Now what does Mike McCarthy do? This all points to Mike Nolan and that defense. If you need 37 a game in the NFL, I mean, the Chiefs can't live in that world. So the Cowboys trying to do that, and now you got Andy Dalton trying to get you to that 37. It was one thing when it was Dak. They're in a really tough spot, and I wonder, is there a moment, like if they keep having those kind of games? Today, on his one of many radio shows, Jerry says that he's still confident in the coaching staff and Mike McCarthy and all that, but man, it just feels like Mike Nolan, it just feels like what Rod Marinelli was. Like he once was good, but something has passed him by. He's not catching something. Yeah, they don't have great personnel, but their scheme is bad. Their technique is bad, and maybe it is just trying to change the defense, but they look awful right now.
Yeah, and the game has maybe passed Mike McCarthy by too, despite the fact that he stayed holed up in his Wisconsin compound all last season, watching each and every play, poring over statistics, trying to make sure that the game didn't pass him by. Sometimes it still does because You can do all the studying in the world. Unless you're applying it in the real world, it may not matter. Right now for Mike McCarthy, it hasn't mattered. On top of the fact that they have dealt with a slew of injuries, too.
Real quick note out of the NBA. It looks like the Nick Nurse tree will now start to grow. Indiana has hired Nate Bjorkgren, one of the assistants that Nick has had with him in Toronto. He's only 45 years old. He's the new head coach in Indiana. They got a little talent. Pacers have a little talent to work with.
Sure they do.
So good on you there, Nick Nurse. I know he's a highly respected guy in the NBA. Now he's sent a guy to another team. All right, we got the triple option coming up. Remember, big week of football. You got Texas getting ready for Baylor, Iowa State at Oklahoma State in the Big 12, and we welcome the Big 10 back to college football this weekend. Very excited about that. Michigan, Minnesota are going to play each other, and then Ohio State and Penn State each have games as ranked teams, top 10 ranked teams. We'll see how good they are. Triple option coming up, and then the Longhorn Blitz podcast. Have a great Tuesday. We'll be back for a Wednesday show. That means we'll talk to Justin Wells of Inside Texas at 1:05 tomorrow. So be sure to join us. Have a good one. Stay safe.
See ya.